Welcome to Outlandish Voices, the podcast. I'm your host, Laura Gooden. Today's story is the second in an occasional series by young Wollongong writers. It's The Machine of Babel by Teresa Wing.
Click, whir, buzz. The machine hummed and ticked, gear spinning contentedly. John patted the right arm fondly. What a marvel of technology, capable of churning out a billion novels, all lovingly crafted from carefully constructed sentences, each chosen to give the greatest meaning the utmost poignancy. His job, to place each plot element in its appropriate position, selecting to form the perfect narrative structure. A happy ending or a tragic kill-em all, a passionate love affair, a thrilling military mission, anything and everything the reader wanted, perfect for each individual. He read through the next order on the list, an ancient conspiracy, assassin haunting the protagonist, no one can be trusted, he murmured. Delicately, he slipped in the betrayal from a trusted friend twist, compounded with a return of a long-lost family member, debated the merits of redemption by death, and finally added in an all-is-not-as-it-seems stinger. He could hear the machine beating out a rhythm with him as he tapped the controls, the living and mechanical building a story. Click, whir, buzz, fizz. John relaxed back in his seat, smiling. 10 minutes, 33 seconds. Not a moment too soon, he noted, as two young women walked into the shop. Wow, Em, look at the new range they have, gasped one, a tall blonde clutching a shopping bag. Her shorter companion looked less impressed, peering over glasses. You're not going to look at those cheapy 5-for-2 romances, are you, Nicole? She asked. I can't understand how you read those things. Absolute rubbish. Oh, Em, Nicole replied theatrically, rolling her eyes. Stop pulling that serious reader thing. She gestured encouragingly towards a brightly lit display. All you have to do is click on the elements you want. It's perfect. Em brushed strands of hair out of her eyes. You know I've tried those. Oh, then maybe let's look at the presets. Expensive, but they spend weeks on them, exclaimed Nicole. It's fine, Em replied. I'll just go and pick up my package. She always does this to me, Nicole complained to John. Your friend doesn't seem to be interested in books, John observed. It's not that. She loves them, but she's never satisfied. I see, stammered John, slightly taken aback. You see? I don't at all. Every book is tailor-made for her, and she still isn't happy. We're holding a promotional tour later today to launch new mechanics, he replied brightly. Perhaps your friend will take heart. Thanks a bunch. Nicole paused. How did people ever cope without machines to produce their novels? Who knows, said John, shrugging. Em sat curled up, arms wrapped protectively around the manuscript's package. With trembling fingers, she removed the book from its brown paper bag. The cover assailed her eyes. Guaranteed to satisfy your book once, your credit back if unsatisfied. Like these, submit your book model to order more with similar themes. The back was dominated by the auto company's logo. She flicked the book open, scanning the pages. The character archetypes were exactly as she had requested, the story convoluted but comfortingly familiar. Her finger lingered over the "suddenly a shot rang out" line, absolutely classic. She slammed the volume shut. This is exactly what I asked for, she muttered, but not what I need. Romance, thriller, mystery, fantasy, science fiction, westerns, she had tried countless genres. She had read the presets, selected all elements randomly, sent in 1,000 orders. Nothing managed to surprise her. She had begun to suspect that all stories were simply shallow reflections of the one novel. She heard the tinkle of jewelry. Nicole had probably finished babbling to the guy at the desk. Em, Nicole trilled as she burst in. I know just the thing for you. We've been invited to join a tour of Auto's new workings. Em smiled tiredly. Thanks, Nikki. That sounds wonderful. They joined a crowd of people chattering excitedly, anxiously anticipating the tour. Can't believe they're releasing early. Preset upgrades, dunno about that. Writers will need less human support. Look, he's here! All eyes focused on the man who had just entered. The crowd sighed as one. Director Atticus. His ancient face looked benevolently upon them, the wise sage leading his people. Ladies and gentlemen, he said solemnly, I thank all of you, our loyal readers, for coming to our launch today. I can promise you that what we will display now will completely revolutionise the book world. You are all familiar with how the writers work. They are true miracle workers, able to craft stories from their most basic elements. He snapped his fingers, summoning two workers to wheel in a covered trolley. He whisked the cloth away, revealing a gleaming new machine. The crowd let out an appreciative sigh. This contraption left the 2400 far behind, sleek, silver and modern, with gears hidden neatly. After 10 years, we introduced the Reichar 2410. He waited for the wave of murmurs to die down. We introduce an amazing new feature, the ability to choose even the very style of the novel you want, whether it be modelled on an existing book, in the style of an older machine, or perhaps even the work of writers. He emphasised the word strangely, different from the familiar writers. Even I do not remember writers. It was my father who told me, and he had it from his father's father, and so on. A writer is a person who creates books without the help of machines. The entire audience gasped. People creating books? Why would anyone want the flaws in such a work? The inherent bias of the creator? How arrogant! Who would want to read a book which did not target the reader? Director Atticus lifted his hand for calm. I know what you are thinking, but this is the ability to mimic the style of authors, while still removing any distasteful elements. How high will the potential of the writers go? And why stop at simply removing parts of the style? We go beyond this, take the style of the author, and completely transplant it to a new genre. Imagine the sweetness of a romance in the thrill of an adventure. Each unique manner is perfect for someone. The spectators burst into rapturous applause and immediately began to assail the director with questions, praise, and requests for autographs. "Director! Director Atticus!" called a high, tremulous voice that just managed to pierce the din. "I was wondering, can people now become writers?" The crowd creature stopped, all eyes staring at M. A slow titter spread through the multitude until it became a curtain of soft laughter. M stood still, despite the rising colour in her cheeks. "My dear," murmured the director, "why would you ever want to?" "I was just thinking, people used to write. Maybe we could find something new?" "Writers have no place in today's world," said the director coldly. M kept the director's gaze, visibly shuddering. With a quick shake of her head, she turned and half ran to the door, trailed by a shouting Nicole. Laughing and taunting chased them. "What an idiotic woman! Who does she think she is? Writers are dead and gone." "Em!" panted Nicole when she had finally caught up. "What was up with that?" Em stared at her. "Writing, Nicole, don't you want to learn if it's possible?" "Are you crazy? The director was staring daggers at you and the crowd thought you were a fool. I don't even want to know you if you become a writer." Em watched as Nicole strode off. She murmured, "I'm going back to Orta. The director knows of writers. If I can just talk to him, maybe, just maybe, he'll understand and give me the chance to write." The doors closed behind Em with a snap, leaving her alone with the director. "I'm pleased that you've seen sense and come to see us, Miss Oliveira. Tell me why you won't let people write. Are you scared that everyone will abandon Orta?" "I won't pretend that I'm not looking out for my company. You know how much Orta is worth, the jobs it provides and the people it keeps happy. Do you know what it was like when people could write anything they wanted? Falsities, misinformation, anyone with an opinion could publish. The controversy, arguments and misery created were awful. Now, everyone is happy with what we make. It's the way things are, the only way. Only your selfishness and pride is making you sacrifice everyone's happiness for your own empty dream. No, give up. We'll even offer you a job here. Your kind of thinking may be helpful for working with the writers. You'll come round." "So confident?" "I am. Here." He tossed her a small drive. "Emails for all of Orta's customer base. If you wanted to destroy us, but you won't. You won't upset the only kind of world you've known. And if you do, your family and friends are all Orta customers. You wouldn't hurt them, would you?" I sit at my desk, staring at the email screen in front of me. Maybe writing is so incredibly selfish. Is it beyond us to realise our dreams and communicate our messages to others with our own abilities? Can we understand another person, enter the world of another, meet the shadow of a writer? I've never written a story before, never even read a human written novel. Who is to say that it will be any different from all the rest, that it will be unique or original? So much seems to rest on simple words. I begin typing with trembling fingers. Click, whir, buzz.
That was The Machine of Babel, written and read by Teresa Wing. It was produced by Laura Gooden. Original music by Houston Dunleavy. Find us on Facebook. Search for Outlandish Voices, the podcast. See you next time.